I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Ever authorize someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?
No.
On September 30th, 2020, 3 years later, he was asked about that once again.
Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it. And that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
And so he's,
now, the indictment relates to the 2020 statement because it's just days before the five-year statute of limitations expires. Comey's alleged lie is related to leaks about Hillary Clinton to the Wall Street Journal in 2016. A 2018 DOJ Inspector General report found that McCabe authorized a leak to the press and that Comey was truthful when he said he, James Comey, did not authorize it. The Justice Department will have to prove that Comey did authorize leaks to the media via his deputy. His initial court appearance is October 9th. His attorney, former U.S. Attorney Pat Fitzgerald, tells Fox News that he's looking forward to vindicating his client. The law calls for 5 years behind bars for each count, but legal experts say it's unlikely prison time would be anywhere near that if he's convicted.
If he's convicted. Now, I do not want you to convict James Comey at this point. But Senator Cruz nailed it. Your own acting director said that you did authorize it. Who's lying? If it's not Comey, then they're going to go back and go after his deputy director. Today, James Comey pled not guilty in front of a judge. Not guilty to charges of allegedly making false statements. Obstruction of a congressional hearing. This is his first court appearance happening today in Virginia. And then the judge set the oral argument dates for November 19 and December 9, a jury trial to begin on January 5 of next year. Comey's lawyer said Comey is, quote, the guy that I'm representing is the honor of my life that I'm representing him. And we're looking at all this as vindictive and retaliatory prosecution by an outrageous government conduct. How dare they use those terms trying to take the high moral ground when we know what they were doing? When we know what they were doing. More information, of course, released today, yesterday, regarding how they were keeping tabs on some U.S. senators. They insist they weren't recording them, but they were logging their phone calls to who and how long. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? And do you believe the fact that they say, we didn't listen to the conversations, BS card in play? Ah, but let me back off and be more compassionate. Back to James Comey when word first came out weeks ago that he was going to be indicted and was indicted, and he took to social media to plead his case.
My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent. So let's have a trial.
Okay.
And keep the faith.
Yep. Yeah, you keep the faith. And I keep the faith that we will find some justice for you because you were instrumental in numerous other things. This is the stuff they're trying to get him on right now. Do not think that that's the end of the list. And again, going after him is not being vindictive. It's not retribution. It is seeking accountability and justice, which the left does not understand. It's not in their vocabulary. I'm running a commentary, ran a commentary earlier today talking about the hate The Democrat Party is led by hate. They're the same Democrats who've endorsed an attorney general candidate for the state of Virginia, the same one who claimed in text messaging a couple of years ago that he'd be more than willing to see two bullets put in the back of the head of his one of his political opponents and his children, and that his children should die in the arms of their mother. And, of course, now confronted with it, he said, oh, yeah, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that. You do not get off by simply saying, that's bad, I'm so sorry. It doesn't change his inner thoughts. You know that, and I know that. Well, as you can tell, we're off and running. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, October 8, 2025, where you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you had as we began. I promise you. Every hour is like that. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we're streaming video. You can watch the program. It gets pretty exciting on this side of the microphone. You might want to watch. Once again, I'm wearing my best tuxedo. What do you think? Do I look pretty good? You don't like the color of my tuxedo? Well, we'll deal with that later. But anyway, you can watch. How do you do it? You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or Larry Connors USA Rumble and Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later, just in case you had to bail out or can't catch all of it. Or more importantly, you want to listen again and share it with someone else. Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And reminding you again, you have a phone. You can get us on your phone with our app. It's a free app, Newstalk STL. Download it on your phone. You push up a couple of buttons and you're listening to whatever the program is on the air right then, which would be this one. Thank you. And you can listen from anywhere. In our next hour, bringing peace to the Mideast and the games that Hamas continues to play, and we're going to get into some of that also this hour. In fact, also later in this hour, a new survey regarding parents and their support or non-support for school vouchers, school choice. You'll want to hear this one. And a quick note for you that Speaker Tim Jones and Chris Arps, who have the program right on ahead of us from 4 to 6, Friday they're going to be broadcasting live from Harpo's in Chesterfield. I will be there. Come on out. Yeah, I'll get there for the early part before my program gets on the air, but I'll be there. Come on by. So let's go back to this issue of what we're dealing with the FBI and what they've been doing. They had a project called Arctic Frost. And Arctic Frost was an effort to basically go after numerous opponents or perceived opponents. Cash Patel, FBI director.
They put this information, those that weaponized the FBI and prior leadership at DOJ and FBI, they took this information where they subpoenaed 8 sitting United States senators, put it in a lockbox, put that lockbox in a vault, and then put that vault in a cyber place where no one can see or search these files. They're called restricted access and prohibited access. Restricted access means some people get to see it. Prohibited access, you put it in there when you want to hide it from the world, and that takes the authorization of the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI. So not only did they weaponize this law enforcement, but when we got in there, and when I got in as the FBI Director, from my experience as Russiagate, I knew where to look and what rooms to open and what doors to kick down. And that's what we did. We found this information to expose the politicization by Jack Smith and the prior Department of Justice. I mean, just think about it. 8 sitting United States senators. Phone records were gathered and subpoenaed through the grand jury process, and it was buried and wormholed with the hope that no one would find it. So we're just scratching the surface here, but accountability is coming.
Yes, it is. Now, the senators, Missouri Senator Hawley, Lindsey Graham, Marshall Blackburn, Bill Hagerty, Dan Sullivan, Tommy Tuberville, Ron Johnson, Cynthia Loomis. Now, the FBI insists, no, all we were doing is recording data. We were recording who they called and when and how long the call lasted. What good is that? What would that prove? You don't know what they talked about. unless you were listening and recording it and hidden the transcripts somewhere else where Patel hasn't found them yet. I, for one, refuse to believe that they were finding when they called, who they called, and for how long without gathering anything beyond that. Give me a rick and break. I will not believe that. And I'll tell you someone else who was absolutely appalled by it and said, I don't believe this when I first heard about it. Senator John Kennedy.
When I first heard about the story, I thought it was satire. I thought it was some nonsense on TikTok. I'm appalled. It's unconscionable. It really is breathtaking. This is a special counsel of the Department of Justice who sought and received the phone records of 8 sitting United States senators. The telephone companies just turned them over. We have no idea what the predicate was, why the FBI and the Justice Department and Mr. Smith were asking for the records. We only found out about it because of a whistleblower. I'm shocked that Smith, I thought he was smarter than this. I mean, I've got rocks in my driveway that are smarter than this.
Is he in your book? Is he in your upcoming book?
No, he should be. I want to have a separate hearing. I want to call him to testify. I'd like the Attorney General Garland to come testify. I think we need to hear from former Director Chris Wray. Mm-hmm. Mr. Smith may plead the Fifth Amendment. Mm-hmm. If I were he, I probably would, because this is serious as 4 heart attacks and a stroke.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that happens in a country whose Powerball jackpot is 287 chickens and a goat. This doesn't happen in America.
But it did. It did. And it was operating under a program, like we said, Arctic Frost, and a special agent group put together called CR-15. Cash Patel has fired several members of that group already, and he got questioned about it in front of Congress, and he said, damn right I did.
Phone records were gathered and subpoenaed through the grand jury process, and it was buried and wormholed with the hope that no one would find it. So we're just scratching the surface here, but accountability is coming. You're darn right I fired those agents. You're darn right I blew up CR-15, the public corruption squad that led the weaponization at the W. Washington field office. We're just warming up, but we are running our investigations to the ground. We are finding every single person involved. We will not leave a single room locked. We will go in through all the prohibited access requirements, and we will find the material and show the American public, like we have done in this FBI, more transformative and transparent than any in the U.S. history, to bring accountability to the American people. And we will work with our partners in Congress, who should be furious at the prior administration's leadership and weaponization and singular politicization of law enforcement. The American public sees what we're doing with the stats you just read off in the beginning. They see what we're doing here to unseal the vault and show the world how the deep state actually operated. It's not a Republican fiction. This is what Donald Trump was put in place to do, and I'm honored to be his FBI director to lead this charge, and the men and women at the FBI, we're all in on this mission.
And I'm glad he is. I'm really glad he is. Trump, of course, putting National Guard troops into Chicago, saying you can't keep things up in peace and you won't help our own troops. As expected, the mayor and Governor Pritzker are going back to their playbook.
What I know is in the early days of the Nazi regime, they started slowly but surely taking away people's rights. And what we're seeing now is the very same thing. They've gone into cities now with the military. Think about that. In your lifetime, have you ever seen anything like that, where the president of the United States is sending military or troops dressed as military, ICE and CBP, in camouflage with automatic weapons into our major cities? It's wrong. And indeed, especially at a time when it's the president of the United States who's causing the mayhem on the ground. We've actually done very well in Chicago bringing down crime.
Yeah, you really have. Well, we're going to give you some stats in a moment to show you really haven't. But keep in mind, the National Guard had been brought in. It has been brought in before. Are you that idiot? Yes, you are, Pritzker. It goes all the way back to George Washington with the Whiskey Rebellion. But in between, you also had Governor standing in front of the Alabama governor, standing in front of the schoolhouse, not letting kids in when John F. Kennedy ordered, get in there. And we got it going on now. And they're trying to bring peace. But we pointed out the other day, ICE agents got surrounded and they were making a call for help. They didn't get it. Now the deputy attorney general says, what the hell was that?
When the director and I saw that and the attorney general saw that report, that's when we booked a flight to Chicago. And so, of course, we have to look into that. And it is so disturbing. This is not an indictment of the local cops. To a man and woman, they want to help us. They want to be there protecting their citizens. This is an indictment of the leadership, of the mayor, of the governor. And they are stopping law enforcement doing their jobs. And imagine being a law enforcement officer who's not getting paid because the Democrats will not open this government, being boxed in by multiple cars, and learning later that leadership told the law enforcement to back off and not respond. That's what happened in Chicago, allegedly. And you better believe that we're looking into it. That should never happen in this country. It should never happen in Chicago. It shouldn't happen in any major city. If it did happen, there will be consequences.
Good. Good. Because they were not responding to an officer's call for help. Homeland Security Secretary Noem went to Portland, Oregon, actually, and discussing Portland with the governor, trying to say, can we help you bring an end to the violence you got in Portland?
The chief asked if I wanted to meet with the mayor, and I said absolutely. Came back and just met with the mayor, and I'm so extremely disappointed. He's continuing to play politics, did not commit to any of those promises, and said that he'd give me an answer by tomorrow, and I'm hopeful that he will. What I told him is that if he did not follow through on some of these security measures for our officers, we were going to cover him up with more federal resources, and that we were going to send four times the amount of federal officers here so that the people of Portland could have some safety. They could have some security. We went and got a sex offender off the streets here in Portland that had been violating minors, and we're going to bring him to justice. And this Portland mayor tried to brag about him making our streets safer. No, absolutely not. It is our federal CBP and ICE officers that are cleaning up this city, and every single day they're going to stay dedicated to doing that.
Great, great. That's exactly what we need. And I don't see any Portland residents saying, hey, we'll take that sex offender in our home. He can stay with us. Coming up next, school choice is a big issue. School vouchers, putting your kids in a school and have the ability. There's a new survey on that. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years, Ed Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor. I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy. 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. You said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The Oak Street Inn and Lounge has some great news. The Speakeasy will now be open on Sundays, starting at 2. Open to the public. Great for those in the industry who want to enjoy a Sunday fun day. Plus, enjoy sushi and cocktails. What more could you want? You want to make sure you get the code. And how do you get the code to the Speakeasy? You go to the Facebook, Oak Street Inn and Lounge Facebook. I'll see you at Oak Street Inn and Lounge in Cottleville.
This is News Talk STL.
I was born in the rain on the Ponza train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is a new survey that shows Americans strongly support school choice. So they'd be voting for candidates who also support that. This is a major study that could be showing the shift inside our demographics of Americans. 73% of those surveyed believe school choice should be open to all families. All families. Well, to help us break it down, we got the representative for the American Federation for Children, which is the nation's largest school choice advocacy group, the National Press Secretary, Brian Jonas. Brian, glad to have you on board again.
Yeah, Larry, great to be with you and your listeners today.
Well, now this survey, we have so many pushing for school choice. Where do we stand across the nation with states or cities and counties that have accepted school choice?
Yeah, it's really incredible. We've seen this real surge over the last 10 years, and candidly, really, since the pandemic hit, where more families have just wanted to find the best environment for their kids. And there's a lot of reasons why, and we just continue to see this play out in state after state. We've seen more states adopt pro-school choice policies. Texas just this year passed what will be the largest day one school choice program when it takes effect. And as we've seen that momentum continue to build from the states, we've also seen Congress step in, and President Trump, through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, signed a federal scholarship tax credit that'll take effect here in a few years that is going to help ideally bring school choice to all 50 states. And so we continue to see a lot of momentum. Poll after poll, Larry, poll after poll shows how wildly popular this is with families across the board. And so it's no surprise that we've continued to see state legislatures step up and take positive action. And we were thrilled to report these results.
I want to break it down in a moment, but before we go any farther, what is the strongest opposition to school choice? I know teachers union. Go ahead. I gave you a clue. Go ahead.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. When you talk about empowering parents and families, for some reason, the teachers union viewed as some sort of ideological threat to public education. It's not that, but they're more focused on getting every dollar they can into their system and really more focused on funding adults and buildings than they are about student outcomes. I mean, our kids are performing at all-time lows. We continue to throw more money at the problem, yet students can't read and write across the country. And in our metropolitan areas, it's often the worst, unfortunately. And so teachers unions are the ones who fight this every tooth and nail, but that doesn't show what families and parents want across the country. They're the ones that are rising up demanding more actions. And when you empower more parents and families, the unions get really upset about it, but that's okay. We're in the business of upsetting the unions.
So what is it?
Making sure families have the choices.
What are the stats and numbers? And if you don't have them off the top of your head, I don't like to pigeonhole somebody with an ambush question, but I'm sure you have some general idea of the sense of how well academics are carried out and with the students in school choice states and areas versus where the teachers union has a lockdown saying, no, they must have a public education with our teachers union.
Yeah, well, listen, Arkansas's got a brand new program. They just put out new reports for the last 2 years of their program show that kids are doing better. We've seen in states across the country, like data out of Florida shows that they're performing well. The most recent data out of Ohio just released earlier this year shows that students on their Ed Choice program, they've had that program for about 20 years. They have not only a higher attainment rate of going to college, they have more likelihood they're going to graduate from college. So again, we've seen time and time again where academic outcomes are improved while also providing families with what they're looking for. I mean, Larry, you know, there's myriad reasons why families are looking for alternative schools to what they might be zoned for. And academic outcomes is a big reason why, but it's often value-based or safety-based or just other reasons. And so it's great just to see the way in which these programs can adapt towards the kids, right? That's the beauty of whether it's a voucher or these education savings accounts we're seeing now or tax credits. It's really about sort of empowering that family, get the kids. That's why we've seen states across the country adopt this. We've seen over 20 states with universal school choice programs. We're seeing that number grow. And the polls showed that, right? To where 73% of voters believe it should be open to all families. 55% who said, regardless of income or geography, no matter what, we want full universal school choice. It's also very popular with folks inside the Democratic Party, too. If you look at non-white Dems or even sort of more conservative, moderate Democrats, this idea of school choice is really, really popular.
And you read the tea leaves in those numbers, you also see that 20% of those surveyed said they would vote for a candidate who is anti-school choice. Wonder who makes up that 20%.
Well, we actually saw this play out in Tennessee last night. There was a hotly contested congressional primary in a special election.
Right.
And the opponent that was very vocal against school choice got about 25% of the vote.
Yeah.
And so that kind of bared out there. And we're seeing more of that happen. And look, when you ask families,
Before we move forward, the candidate that won did get the Trump endorsement. So how much did that weigh against wanting school choice?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the specifics of that district to look at it. I'm sure it helps. But then again, when you are able to look, here's what we've always tried to do. Make sure families know where those state representatives are on this specific issue for us at AFC, right? Talking about school choice solely. We want to make sure you know where these candidates stand on this very important issue for you, because when you've got kids, K-12 age kids, this is one of the number one things that's talked about around the kitchen table. And so they've got to know where their candidates stand when it relates to their kids' education.
So how paying for it, of course, you're looking at a federal tax credit that got 58% of the voters for that, 66% among parents. So not all those being surveyed, I guess, were parents, but it grows to 64% from the 58 among voters after they hear more details. How does the tax credit work, a federal tax credit? And then you also have some state tax credits offered on the table.
Yeah, and worth noting, too, and then I'll tell you how it's going to work. Minority Democrats, 64% want their state to participate in the federal scholarship tax credit.
Would you repeat that?
That's right. Minority Democrats, and we've continued to see from African-American and Hispanic families, they want school choice. Right. And so minority Democrats, 64% want their state to participate in the federal scholarship tax credit. I mean, that really is telling. Here's the way it's going to work. The beauty in the way in which Congress pushed for it, the way in which the president championed and signed it on July 4th, is that states that opt into this program, it still involves a state opt in. So state leaders, if you're listening, governors across the country and governors right there in your home state, right, you should be opting into this program because it's going to allow families and taxpayers, really. It's going to allow taxpayers to donate to state-based scholarship organizations. So taxpayers are then going to get an up to $1,700 credit off their federal tax bill. So it's great policy for taxpayers in your state. And then those dollars raised in the state are going to be able to go help kids with things like private school tuition, but also tutoring, educational services, kids with special needs can tap into it. So it really is a win-win. It's a no-brainer for states to opt in because it's going to create tax incentives for their taxpayers.
Are there any situations in your state? Are there any situations where they're just going to, in addition to a tax credit, they're just going to give money to the parents, say, go find the school you want? And, of course, if the parents don't spend it on that school, then that was their waste for them and their child.
No, so the way that it's going to work is families that would then be awarded a scholarship through these SGOs, depending on what make and model they'd be able to use it for. So, for example, there's part in the bill that says they'd use it for tutoring. So they'd be able to use it for some tutoring services. Or if they wanted to use it towards private school tuition, they could be able to use it for that. So it's got to be used for educational purposes. But it really does take – donor-driven support, give it to families. It doesn't cost states a dime. You know, we've seen some governors across the country wring their hands about, you know, this is going to siphon money away from our traditional public schools. But it's not that. This is privately funded, donor-driven support
right.
that then families can tap into, be able to use for a lot of different things. So that's why when governors, we've seen a few governors be very quick to say no. Wisconsin's Governor Tony Evers, very quick no. And I sort of scratched my head a little bit. I said, Governor, you're telling Wisconsin taxpayers you'd rather them send their money into another state than keep it at home? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No. And in fact, when you break it down on this survey, again, carried out by the 3D Strategic Research, it shows if you're talking about political affiliation, 70% of Republicans, 60% of independents, 58% of Democrats favor the their state mm-hmm. participating, and that's 53% right. of Democrat primary voters back their state to opt in. I mean, it is not a right. political win issue for the Democrats based on those numbers.
No, and those Democrat primary voters are their most engaged voters. And even those folks are saying, we think our state should participate again, because when you look at it and you explain it to them, this is donor-driven support given to these SGOs, which then goes directly to families to use for different things for their kids' education.
All right, Jen,
it cost your state not a single dime. Why not do it?
I want to give you the last 30-plus seconds here. Your head of the Federation, the American Federation for Children, CEO, had said, the nation's report mm-hmm. card shows our education system is an undeclared state of emergency. Your reaction?
Yeah, it really is. It really is quite telling, Larry. I mean, you're talking about spending nearly $1 trillion a year across education in America, and yet kids are at historic lows. Something drastically has to change. We're losing generations of students. By empowering them to go find the place that's going to best meet their needs, it's a path to success, and it's become a rescue mission at this point. Yeah. Far too many kids are being left too far behind, and we've got to do something about it.
That's a great way to put it. It's a rescue mission. Throw them a lifeline. Brian Jodas, right. National Press Secretary for the American Federation for Children. Thank you for your time, sir.
It's been a pleasure, Larry. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Very enlightening information. Again, you can check it out by going to the American Federation for Children. Get more details. I encourage you to do it. Your children are our greatest legacy. They really are. Are you going to protect them and help them? Coming up, bringing peace to the Mideast and dealing with Hamas, who plays games all the time. President Trump, when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
For 100 years, Tom Shaw Realtor is helping folks buy or sell, but also helping the community. He wanted this paid commercial to promote the Tom Shaw Walk for Alzheimer's, Sunday, October 12. More details at shawrealtors.com.
You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting.
Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
Hey, if you're 50 or older, you do not want to take any risk with your money. In fact, you want Leslie Consulting. My friend Bob Leslie can show you a gain and retain plan. It means that you never lose. Plus, you get up to a 20% bonus on day one. Leslie Consulting, a leader in brokerage and risk management. 314-721-0066. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We are very close to making a deal on the Middle East that will bring peace to the Middle East after all of these years of millions and millions, tens of millions of people being killed. There's a chance to bring peace to the Middle East. And we're going to do everything possible to make sure everybody adheres to the deal.
Another sign that a deal could be close, at least a partial deal, and that is that the two sides have exchanged names. Hamas giving a list of prisoners it wants freed, also supplying a list of hostages, roughly 48 hostages, 20 of them still believed to be alive. Still, though, major challenges ahead on both sides. Israel wants Hamas to disarm completely. That's not something Hamas has agreed to. For its side, Hamas is saying it wants a guarantee that once it gives up the hostages, loses its leverage, that Israel will not restart a war. So still some major gaps for a long-term agreement.
Well, if Israel were to restart firing into Gaza after Hamas does surrender all hostages, lays down all arms, and declares that they are no longer going to be fighting, I would want to know specifics of why. I would first be moved to condemn it, but I need specifics. No, if we're talking about a ceasefire and everything, Israel has to stop at this point. I'm not buying your story, those of you who are saying, well, Israel wants to carry out genocide against the Palestinians. If they had wanted to do that, they would have done it within 2 days of October 7 last year, 2 years ago. And they had the capabilities to do it. But they gave warning after warning, we're going to start in the southern part of Gaza, or rather the northern part. So you need to go to the south. And Palestinians who could and were allowed to move freely by Hamas did do that. They got out of harm's way. But then they all got into a tight squeeze in the north. Everybody's trying to seek protection, and Hamas is in their midst and under their baby beds and under their hospitals and tunnels everywhere. Hamas claims that half of those killed in this war have been women and children. Do you question that? I would question it. I'd like to know exact numbers, and I have an issue, obviously, with innocent men as well as women and children being killed if they were not involved, but they became, quote, collateral damage, and Hamas was more than glad to have it and point out, look at this baby that's dying here. You guys did that. Well, if you cowards, Hamas would not hide under their baby beds and in their hospitals, that wouldn't happen. If you really wanted to be and show that you are really a strong super religion to take over the world with your jihad, you would let everyone go except your own members and fight like a real army. Senator John Fetterman is criticizing protesters who refuse to urge Hamas to accept the Trump peace deal. Senator Fetterman, Democrat, said the war must end. You guys should accept that. But we see, even in our nation right now, there are those that are not going to accept it there or here, and it's going to be an issue for us. So the latest is a U.S. envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, and Trump's former advisor, Jared Kushner, son-in-law. They are in Egypt, so that suggests there's progress being made. And as you heard, Hamas and Israel have exchanged lists of prisoners and hostages to be released. So again, the response from the White House and others is that this is all optimistic. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. But we're not there because Hamas continues to play games. They could have resolved it. Stop and think about this. They could have stopped. They could have had this position a year ago, even 18 months ago. Imagine how many lives might have been saved. Not just Hamas military that needs to be destroyed, but innocents. One senior official told Axios that Witkoff and Kushner would not lead the discussions until a deal was struck that would secure the release of all hostages captured by Hamas October 7, 2 years ago. Even if they're dead, they want their bodies back. And the fact that Jared Kushner and Witkoff say, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay here until this is resolved. I like that. It shows we're not going to move. We're not going to change. And again, that's where President Trump is expressing optimism, saying, I think there's a possibility we could have peace in the Middle East. Well, I think someday we might be living on Mars. We're far from that. And right now, I'd say we're as far from that with dealing with Hamas, only because they continue to move the goalpost. But I like the fact that Jared Kushner, who created the Abraham Accords and got nations to sign on to it, which sparked a lot of this because the PLO didn't like the fact that other Arab nations, Muslim countries, were signing on to a peace accord. They wanted to continue to destroy Israel. If you've ever looked at the map, if you're not familiar with Israel directly, you should do so. Every nation around Jerusalem is a group of people that hate them. I'm not saying all Arabs nor all Muslims hate Jerusalem and Jews, but they've been born and bred to the fact that if you can kill a Jew, you should be considered a martyr, even more so if you are willing to kill yourself in the process of attacking a bunch of civilians on a bus with a bomb. Pardon me. If you're looking for any sense and understanding in there, you're not going to find it. So again, Jared Kushner entering this and saying we're going to stay in Egypt till we get a ceasefire deal. One senior advisor at Trump says the presence of Kushner, who has largely stayed out of the Trump White House during the second term and holds no official role in the administration, even though he previously served as a senior advisor to Trump, signifies the U.S. is serious about securing this deal to end this two-year-old-plus war and get all 48 hostages back. Half or more are dead. The White House stated that Kushner, quote, a major architect of the Abraham Accords, is an extremely trusted voice on Middle East policy. And he has been in contact with Steve Witkoff throughout the negotiations over the last year. The White House obviously thankful that he's coming in to help. And they say that they're going to stay there, Witkoff and Kushner. Really, how valuable is that? Well, Rebecca Henricks is a senior fellow and director of the Hudson Institute's Keystone Defense Initiative. And she got questioned about the fact that both of them are going to stay until they get what they want.
How does the presence of Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner in these negotiations change things?
Well, I think really it's Jared Kushner more than anybody. He was obviously instrumental in negotiating the Abraham Accords. And so Jared has really had a low profile during the second Trump administration. So to bring him in now, I think indicates that, one, the Trump administration's really determined to get some progress here. But two, they're bringing some pretty serious firepower to make some deals. And so it's promising that Jared is there.
Well, the reporting, Rebecca, is that they're in this for the long haul, both Kushner and Witkoff, and that they're going to stay in Egypt. until Hamas agrees to release all the hostages and end the war. And as Steve was just saying, there is still a lot of daylight between these two sides. As a matter of fact, Hamas yesterday denied a report that they had agreed to gradually disarm. So what if these negotiations fall apart?
Well, the big litmus test, Carly, is whether or not Hamas will actually release the hostages. That's phase one that has to happen. And already you're seeing the Hamas kind of do these counter proposals. That's not indication that Hamas is serious here. We have so much pressure now from the Gulf partners, obviously from the United States. The Israelis have agreed to President Trump's plan. That's the plan. Hamas is the one that committed the genocidal attempt on October 7th against the Jewish people. It's not in a position to be making counter demands.
No, it's not. But they're stalling. For what purpose? They're not carrying out additional attacks. They may or may not be doing things to Palestinians who are anti-Hamas. We don't know what's happening inside. And are they basically just posturing that we will continue to stand up against the great Satan, hoping that the other Muslim nations will reach out and help with the jihad? That was the whole intent behind October 7 anyway. They actually thought, and they were pressing that after the Abraham Accords were going to be signed, they thought if that is signed, that's going to basically bring peace in the Middle East. We do not want it because we want to take Palestine all the way from the river to the sea. All they're doing is stalling. There is no gunfire report, no escalation taking place. We do know that yesterday, to mark the 2-year anniversary of the attack, what did Hamas do? They fired a rocket into Jerusalem. Thank goodness, no one, I take it back. Let me say Israel. I don't know exactly where it hit, but it hit an area where they didn't hurt or harm anyone or destroy anything. Maybe they knew that, but that fact that they were willing to send another rocket while you're in the midst of these latest peace negotiations, that tells you everything. And we need to be alert for Hamas activities inside our borders. Thank you, Joe Biden, for that. We've got some Hamas supporters that are making threats, which will likely be followed by some kind of actions. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
The Napoli heritage of fine dining continues with Napoli Kirkwood. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. So add that to Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and don't forget about Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district, Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, plus now, open Napoli Kirkwood.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We did not act enough.
We did not act enough.
If we acted enough.
If we acted enough.
The headline behind me would read.
The headline behind me would read.
Gaza has been liberated.
We must show up.
Stronger than we did the first October 7th. Louder than we did the first October 7th.
They want another October 7th. Those protesters are inside our borders. Who would be the target? Jews and Christians. Anyone in our nation that does not accept the radicalized jihadist view of Islam and the Muslim religion. And again, I say thank you, Joe Biden, because we have no idea how many terrorists he allowed in our country anyway. I was running a commentary today that I'm continuing to watch this. And this again shows you that the leadership of the left, the far, far left, the same ones, Ocasio-Cortez, Omar, whatever, the rest of them, all continue to come out and support Hamas, which would kill Americans. And the queers for gays, I should say queers for Hamas, they would also be killed. But they're so mind-washed on the left They just follow along. They do not have the courage to stand up. I don't even know if they know that they can stand up. But the commentary I was running today was dealing with this attorney general candidate in Virginia, Jay Jason, who is basically still running with Democrat support, even though information got leaked out as to some text messages he sent, Jay Jones, that he sent earlier a couple of years ago about a Republican colleague that he deserves two bullets in the head and his children should be killed and they should die in the arms of their mother. And now when confronted with it, he said, I shouldn't have said that. No, again, I say you're not allowed to simply get a walk card on that. But here's the more distressing part. He still has support of Democrats in his race. The Virginia two previous Virginia governors, Cory Booker, also standing with him. Trump and other Republicans are saying, how can you do this after the Charlie Kirk assassination? You're still standing there? They are clearly the part of hate. So they would support this Hamas uprising in our nation. Some would be actively involved in it. I would like a Democrat that is supporting this guy to tell me why. Just because he's in your tribe, you're going to follow him and continue to support him, and he wants to be the attorney general, and he's talking about killing a political opponent and his children? You guys are nuts! Coming up in the second hour, we're going to take a closer look at how the U.S. and the U.N. should be or not be involved. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details, plus gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for a Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check VincentsJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure, no hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.